Blog Talk Radio.
I'm back. My name is Yamsuf Arif,
If you feel comfortable calling me by my slave name, you can call me Brother Ron. Nevertheless, most importantly, never call me late for dinner. That being said, welcome to the Real Talk for Real People show. You know, we are in our studies, and we've come to some conclusions about the Most High God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, is that he's not this warm, cuddly thing like a tickle me Elmo. No, he's much more serious, and he doesn't change, as some of us like to indicate. But that being said, some of us, because of our miseducation, has been misinformed that he's some warm, cuddly thing like Tickle Me Elmo, and he's changeable, just like some of us are. But no, he's not like that. And as we begin in our studies tonight, you will see, because proclamations that we have been reading about, and we've been reading about proclamation against Sidon, Tyre, and now in chapter 29 of Ezekiel, we're coming to Egypt. He's got a thing about Egypt. And at that time, those people look remotely like us. But as you will see, during their conquering by Nebuchadnezzar, then along came Alexander the so-called great, the dynamics and the infusion of people change. They didn't look so much remotely like us then. No, it's true. If you are to look at Egypt today, it don't look anything like it did when we were there. So, if you're surprised why Egyptians don't look anything remotely like us now, well, you're about to find out why. Okay? So, if you're on chapter 29, let's get busy, okay? Just hold, find your marker, and I'm finna find me a bottle of water, and we're gonna get busy, okay? Okay, I found the water. I got this on the base yesterday. Water called Freedom Choice Purified Water. Okay. Works for me. Ah, that's good. The nectar of the gods. The nectar of the gods. So are you ready? If I may, let me begin reading the proclamations against Egypt. In the 10th year, 12th day of the month, the word of the Elohim came to me, saying, "Man, who? Me, Ezekiel. Your face, set your face against Pharaoh, king of Egypt, and prophesize against her, against all Egypt. Speak and said, thus said the Elohim Yah, behold, I am against you, O Pharaoh, king of Egypt, O great muster, who lies in the midst of his river, the Nile, who has said, my river is my own, I own this. I've made it myself, the Nile. But I will put hooks in your jaws and cause the fish of your river to stick to your scales. I will bring you up in the midst of the rivers, and all the fish in your rivers will stick to your scales. I will leave you in the wilderness. You and all the fish of your river, you shall fall on the open field. You shall not be put up the hazard, birds of the heavens. Then all the inhabitants of Egypt shall know that I am the Elohim, because they have been a staff, a reed to the house of Israel. they took hold of you with the hand, you broke and tore their shoulders, tore all their shoulders. You know, in the very beginning, Goshen and whatnot. When our first introduction to them, when Joseph, and there was a famine in the land, his father and family and whatnot, after finding out that Joseph was alive and was second in command of Egypt and found favor in the eyes of the Pharaoh at that time, and because he looked remotely like them too. And not only that, he was a good man. Joseph was a good man. Unlike some of us who like to run after other people's wives, Joseph wasn't that type fella. Unlike some of us who just like to check in the clock, don't like to put in no work, that's the kind of brother Joseph was. When he checked in on the clock, he put in work. That's why he became, be him being a good man and a man of the Most High. When he put in his hours, he gave hours. He didn't just ride the clock, unlike some of us. And he rose up in rank. And his father and his brothers didn't know him at the time, the one that sold him off to Egypt. You know, he had grown up, become a man, and he, as I said, he looked somewhat remotely like the Egyptians. And the famine in the land, so they were invited to live in a place called Goshen. But after that Pharaoh passed away and Joseph was gone, they didn't recognize those Hebrews no more. Man, who them folks, man? They growing up and they just growing, even though they look like us. We're going to put some work on them suckers. And that's why you come up with that remark right there. That the land of Egypt and its relationship with us had deteriorated. Because it said, when they took hold of you with the hand, you broke and tore all their shoulders. When they leaned on you, you broke and made all their backs quiver. You put some work on them. Therefore, says the Elohim Yah, surely I will bring a sword upon you and cut off from you man and beast. And the land of Egypt shall become desolate, waste. Then they shall know that I am the Elohim because I say it. The river is mine, not yours. I have made it. Indeed, therefore, I am against you and against your rivers. I will make the land of Egypt utterly waste, desolate. From Medol to Serene, as far as your border of Ethiopia, neither foot of man shall pass through it, nor foot of beast pass through it. It shall be uninhibited for 40 years. I will make the land of Egypt desolate in the midst of the countries that are desolate. Among the cities that are laid waste, her cities shall be desolate for 40 years. I will scatter the Egyptians among the nations and disperse her throughout the countries. Yet, thus said the Elohim Yah, at the end of the 40 years, I will gather the Egyptians from the people among whom they were scattered. I will bring them back, the captives of Egypt, and cause them to return to the land of Patros, to the land of their origin. And there shall be a lowly kingdom. You'll never be like you was. It shall be the lowest of kingdoms. It shall never again exalt itself among the nations, as we can see. I will diminish them so that they will not rule over the nations anymore. No longer shall it be with the covenants. No longer shall it be the confidence of the house of Israel. Well, no longer will the house of Israel depend upon them, lean on them, come to them for advice, come to them to worship their gods and whatnot. None, as you can see as I speak. Those days are over that he's saying to Egypt. No longer shall it be the confidence of the house of Israel, but will remind them of their iniquity when they turn to follow them. It will remind Israel of their iniquity when they said, man, they ain't like they used to be no more. Wow, man, that's cold. And they shall know that I am the Elohim. And he goes on to explain how he will do what to do to them. Babylon will plunder Egypt. Well, after the Babylonians, Alexander the so-called great finished it up, then he, you know, Alexander had a thing when he conquered a country. After he run everybody off, he would take over the country and he would bring his own settlers. And they didn't look anything remotely like us after that. And they still, they have an infusion of ex-Babylonians and Greeks. So if the color don't look anything remotely like us anymore, that's good cause. Okay? So don't be so, Yom Su, you don't know what you're talking about. Them folk don't look like us. No, not these. Not the settlements. Not the Babylonians and the Greeks. No, things have changed. Things have changed mightily. And it came to pass in the 27th year, in the first month, on the first day of the month, that the word of the Elohim came to me. Who? Me. Son of man, Ezekiel. And he says, this is the one I'm going to send against him. Nebuchadnezzar, king of Babylon, caused his army to labor strenuously against Tyre. Remember I told you about Tyre? You know, that they didn't capture the when they subdued the mainland Tyre. They didn't get the rest of them. The rest of them skedaddled in the ships to the island, which they never came back to the mainland. So they called the island Tyre, which Alexander the so-called great came along and tore that up too, and infused his people over there too. And if you're wondering why they look anything remotely like us, Alexander the Great changed all that, so-called great. And when King Nebuchadnezzar came against the mainland Tyre, before it went skedaddle off to the island portion and fortified it, all that fighting and whatnot that the Babylonians did against it, it really didn't get anything from it because, as I said, they skedaddled to the island that they called Tyre. And he didn't get what he was looking for. But there is a promise to Nebuchadnezzar. And he says he get what he was looking for. He said, Babylon caused his army to labor strenuously against the Tyre. Every head was made bald and every shoulder raw. Yet neither he nor his army received raises from Tyre. As I said, they had skedaddled to the island part. So they didn't get what they thought was going to get out of their labor. For the labor which they expended on it. Therefore, thus saith the Elohim Yah, surely I will give the land of Egypt to Nebuchadnezzar, king of Babylon. He shall take away her wealth, carry off her spoil, remove her pillage, and that will be the wages for his army, for him not getting his just due desert on Tyre, whom skedaddled to the island. I have given him the land of Egypt for his labor, because he worked for me, says the Elohim Yah. I always pay my wages. In that day, I will cause the horn of the house of Israel to spring forth, and I will open your mouth to speak in their midst. Then they shall know that I am the Elohim. We have a little comeback. That being said, we're going to end it right, brothers and sisters. And I'm going to put my brother on after this lovely song, my sister. Brother Maury Carter, New York City, and lovely Sister Imadora from St. Louis, Missouri. I bring you on too. If you got something constructive and a positive, say, if you ain't, just stay off the mic, okay? Everybody ain't meant to get on the mic. But you got to keep doing what you're doing in this community, what you're at. Do the best you can with who you can. Be constructive and pragmatic. Follow the CDC guidelines. Do not follow this president. if you do, and you become a canary in the mine, mind this, you're going to be a dead bird. They try to use you as a canary in the mine. Don't do it, and you better believe it, because you're going to be a dead bird, okay? Follow the guidelines, social distancing. Stay stayed up and prayed up. As a matter of fact, we're getting together this Saturday to be prayed up for our nation. And join us from sundown Saturday to sundown Sunday. We will be fasting and praying for the nation. And that's a good thing. But in the meantime, social distancing, wash as often as you can, decontaminate your house, a little bleach and water go along spot, watch me eating. And don't hit that clock. Don't hit that clock. Don't be the canary in the mine. Okay? Until the scientists have told you, or until the Most High have told you, everything's all right. Don't be no fool. Don't let these folks sacrifice you for this nonsense in this economy, okay? You got a whole lot of my there talking about, well, you know, a man ought to give his life for the economy. Is you crazy as hell, man? You mean to tell me I need to sacrifice myself for your economy? See, that's why I don't follow my interest nowhere. And I certainly didn't follow them across the street. And I certainly ain't going to follow them back to the mines. So it'll be a dead bird. And so don't you follow them, okay? You come along with us and I'll study. And come along with us in our prayer to the Most High God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, so you can ensure the fact that you are covered and protected. Because believe you me, they have no interest on covering and protect you unless it's some dirt 6 feet down. You better do 6 feet or they're going to bury you 6 feet. Don't be the canary in the mine, okay? You're listening to the Real Talk for Real People show. My name is Brother Yamsu Farid. Enjoy this lovely song. I'll be right.
the sink. It seems that somehow we'll make it to the top. Keep your head above, arm in arm to lock. Cause we know if we will ever stop, the dream of unity could end abrupt. If there's ever a chance, you'll see the end of the road. It's your love inside that will keep you up.
I want you to keep your head up. I want you to keep your head up to whence to, and look to the mountains from whence cometh your help. Don't be all depressed and dejected and whatnot about this Rona. You're worried about the wrong thing. What you need to be worried about is your relationship that is solidified with the Most High God of Abraham, Isaac. That's what you need to be worried about, okay? So stop being all with the blues. And when I got your head hung all out and crying, snot running out your nose, all that nonsense, that ain't going to solve your problem. What's going to solve your problem is what we're doing today. Researching, study, doing critical analysis and assessment, when, where, and how, as to how the Most High works and how we should have a working relationship with Him. And also, coming together this Saturday, raising your hand up to Him, crying out to Him, hey, we wrong, I'm wrong, my folk parents wrong, I'm crooked in a dog's hind leg, I ain't right, there ain't no right in me, you need to get me right, and please get me right, and please take me back. And if you ain't going to take me back, look out for me doing this wrong. See, that's what you need to be worried about. You're worried about the wrong thing, okay? Well, that being said, let me bring Brother Moray Cottrell, along from New York City. Brother Moray Cottrell, may the Most High bless you, brother. Your mic is hot. Shalom.
All praise to the Holy One of Israel, my brother, Yam Sufari. May the Most High bless you.
Thank you very much, brother. And the Most High bless you too, my brother.
It's an excellent lesson, but I think you missed the chapter.
Did I? Hold on.
Yeah. Hold on. The previous chapter to this one talks about Tyree.
Right.
28.
We got Tyree yesterday. We got the proclamation.
27 is Tyree too.
Okay, 27. No, I think we got that, Moray. We got that, brother. Okay.
I think
the proclamation against the king of Tyree.
Uh-huh.
Yep. Hold on, let me see. Unify the century, the multitude of protectors. Yeah, we got that. We got 28 yesterday, and we got 27 before that, I believe, Monday. We got 27 Monday, and we got 28 yesterday. Because remember, when you finished the ending and you left me hanging, and then you went back and you finished up when you said, our future was a blessing. I mean, we had something to look forward to in 28. And so we came on to 29, and that's the proclamation against Egypt.
Okay, I stand to be corrected, but...
Okay.
Is that a history lesson?
No, we brothers. Come on now. We friends. We brothers. We don't do no cussing and fussing and fighting. Mm-hmm.
Yes, and are people still eating on Egypt? We're talking about Egyptologists and.
Oh yeah, I check them on Foodbook. I see them on Foodbook.
You see them on Foodbook.
I see them on Foodbook talking about some Egyptology and all that, you know, and missing the whole, missing everything. All this information, Amore Cartrell, is right in front of their face, and they miss just because we look something remotely like the Egyptians. They think they're Egyptians. Because
we
they
look
don't do
just
study.
Like Egyptians. We look
right.
just like Egyptians.
That's
why
what I'm saying.
Joseph
could
that's
hide.
Why Joseph's brothers
right.
didn't even know who
right.
he
didn't
was.
Didn't know him. Right.
Nope.
Didn't know who is he? Oh, he ain't
he's
another
Egyptian. Egyptian.
Right. And apparently, Joseph had a bald head like him, cut his hair all bald like him. Had the eye paint over his eyes and everything. So they said, oh, he ain't nobody another Egyptian. And
they thought Moses was Egyptian when he went to the land of Midian.
Now, what that said? What that tell you?
Jethro's daughter said an Egyptian saved us. It wasn't no Egyptian. It was Moses. He had Egyptian clothes on, but it was Moses.
They don't do no studying. That's what happens
that's the problem.
When you don't do any studying. You don't do any critical analysis and assessment. And you don't really think because your thinker is broken. You're going to come up with the conclusion like they showed you on them Yul Brynner and whatnot.
The Ten Commandments
conclusion. I mean, you're going to be miseducated to the ninth, to the tenth level. You know what I mean? So it goes without saying, and we're still miseducated.
If you really look at the Ten Commandments, they show African nations in that picture, but they don't really highlight it. As Pharaoh was an African nation, the Egyptians are an African nation. The Egyptians are descended from Ham. They come from Mizraim, like the Philistines.
Exactly.
But they don't show that. As a matter of fact, they don't teach that in our history classes. Who they start with? They start with the Greeks, Alexander the Great.
Yeah.
Wait a minute. You ain't talking about Nebuchadnezzar, Babylon.
Right.
You ain't talking about Assyria. You're not talking about Moab and Ammon.
There's too much color. That's too colorful for them, okay? That is too colorful, okay?
We got to start with the Greeks.
The Greeks, right after Nebuchadnezzar came along and conquered Egypt. But if they know how Alexander the so-called Great operated, they knew when he conquered a nation, he always brought in settlers and resettled the situation. You know, and then you would think, because you didn't do any studies, oh, man, them Egyptians look just like Gentiles.
But
no, that's not
the
right.
European
that's
man. That's the right. European's man, M.O.
Right.
Because same thing happened to America, right? The Americas.
Yeah,
if
you would
alien,
think. You, yeah, you would
alien.
Think. No Native Americans ever exist, especially up in New York. You had the seven nations up in New York. You had the Aquarius, the seven nations, the long houses. You wouldn't even know nothing about the long houses if you didn't do no study.
Hey, Brother Yamsu, where I live, Mount Vernon, they say in Mount Vernon, this is where all the chiefs came to meet.
Are you kidding me? Out of the seven nations?
All the chiefs of the different nations came to meet in Mount Vernon, son.
Oh, man, I didn't know that.
Yeah, Mount Vernon's real spiritual. I've been here more than half my life. I grew up in New York City, but I'm like, Mount Vernon is a suburb. And the more I found out about Mount Vernon, the more I'm astonished. 4 square miles. Denzel Washington, Stephanie Mills, Felicia Rashad, Al B. Shaw. All these people come out of Mount Vernon. I'm like, yeah.
Let me ask you a question. Is Denzel still living in Mount Vernon?
I believe so.
Yeah. You know, one thing I like about Denzel, and I'm going to tell you a story about Denzel, and this is a true story. Remember that Mike Tyson fight they had down here in Memphis?
Who was he fighting?
I think that boy from Britain. Holyfield. I don't know. No, I think it's the boy from Britain. Yeah. Oh,
okay. That's not the fight when he bit Evander Holyfield's ear off.
Yeah, I believe so. And my brother was working security, you know, because he owned a security firm. And you know, they was bringing in the celebrities. And
you got some big boys.
Yeah. Denzel came. Yeah.
Marine,
Denzel. Hey, we do it like that, brother. We do it like that. We're down. let me tell you the story, my listeners. Let me tell you the story.
Go ahead, bro. Go ahead. I'm sorry.
This is what I like. Even though he's a so-called, what is that, the Seventh-day Adventist or something like that? But here's what I like about him personality-wise. You can always find some good in a person. That man loved his wife. And I'm going to tell you what happened. There was a European woman, saw Denzel. My brother was leading him in. And she ran up there and didn't ask him. Just threw herself on him. My brother said, man, Denzel always pushed that woman down. Denzel, hold on, man. Now, I'm just an actor. You know, I ain't like what you see in the movie. I'm a married man. Let me come to the throwing hands. Man, Denzel said, look here, I'm married, okay? And his wife wasn't even with him. But the fact of the matter, that the boy respected his relationship, I got high regard for Denzel in that regard, okay?
Yeah, a lot of conscious level Israelites live here in Mount Vernon. I didn't know where the hell Mount Vernon was. I live like between Manhattan and the Bronx, then comes Mount Vernon. I thought Mount Vernon was way somewhere upstate. But trust me, it's like my next door neighbor. And I've been up here with my wife for the last 35 years.
So what brought you to Mount Vernon, Moray? What brought you to Mount Vernon?
In the hood, on the south side.
Right. You just got tired of the mess, huh?
Oh, Harlem is worse than Mount Vernon. Harlem, you see people die like flies, like this coronavirus.
So you moved your family to Mount Vernon?
I wasn't going to raise no family in Harlem. No way.
Yeah.
Now with
you,
the
bro.
Drug dealing and bloodshed and not my children. They're not growing up in this hood.
I feel you,
so
bro.
My
I ain't mad at
it's kind of like a suburb.
I got high regard.
Some conscious level Israelites up here, man.
Yeah, and then
I found my way
to
college in Mount Vernon.
Right.
That's how I got to Mount Vernon, because I went to my high school counselor and I told her I wanted to go to college. She told me I wasn't college material.
Are you kidding me?
Yeah, I wanted to blow her office up that day. Because going into her office, I knew about remedial colleges where they help you get up to your academic level to get into college. Because I went to a vocational high school. It wasn't about academics.
Right.
It was about printing, offset, lithograph, and all these different types of ways to printing newspapers and magazines. That was a specialty of the high school. They didn't specialize in science and mathematics and you know, all the rest of the academic courses, history and whatever you learn in academic school. It was a vocational school. So I went to her office. I said, I want to go to college. She looked at me dead in my face, told me, you are not college material, son. I'm like, oh, what?
Was she a European?
European? Oh. Yeah.
Well,
so I found my way into a vocational college.
Hey, that's to be expected.
Oh, yeah.
Okay.
Oh, yeah. So I didn't let her deter me or discourage me. Mm-hmm. I researched it out for myself, and I wound up in Mount Vernon in what they call the I forget what they call it, but they help you get up to academic speed so you could go to a four-year institution.
Well, little did she know, Maury Cartier, you were stiff-necked and stubborn. Sometimes it works for us, sometimes it works
against
you.
I'm an Israelite, man. I'm an Israelite.
Hey, look at Maury Cartier, all praises to the Most High God for Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. If I wasn't stiff-necked and stubborn has worked for me, and occasion it has worked against me. People have always told me what I couldn't do, and when you tell me I can't do something, and I want to do it, I'm determined to do it. And I'm gonna tell you, bro. Now here's how it worked against me. Y'all have heard this story before, listen. Here's how stiff-necked and stubbornness can work for you, just like Moore Cartrell. And it worked for us when doing the right thing, but it doesn't work for us when you're thinking you're doing the right thing. Remember I told y'all in Marine Corps boot camp, I did everything in flying colors. The rifle range, the running.
It was talking about the water incident.
I better tell you. Here's how stiff and stubby can get you in trouble. So I ain't telling nobody going through water survivor in this 12-foot deep pool by 12 feet across, 12 foot deep. I'm so stiff-necked and stubborn and full of pride. I'm so full of pride. I ain't going to let nobody know. Now, I'm about 8 in line to be called. And I figure... If I watch these guys and see how they moving and moving across that water, stiff neck and stubborn, how it don't work for you. And I said, okay, yeah, I'm too proud. And but the drill instructor, they told you, if y'all can't swim now, raise your hand, and I'm going to put you over there in the little kiddie portion. I said, I'll be damned. I'm not going in the wading pond. That stiff neck and stubborn can get you. And so I'm a man. I'm gonna follow these others. I done did everything as a flying color. I'm gonna do this. Stiff neck and stubborn can get you in trouble. And then he blew the whistle. The first man dived in and swam across the pool and got out. The second man dived in, swam across the pool and got out. And came down to the seventh man before me. And he dived after whistle blew and swam across the pool and got out. Came up to me, Mr. Stiff Necked and Stubborn. Mr. Fuller Pride, the drill instructor blows the whistle, boom, and I dive in and keep going straight to the bottom of that 12-foot pool.
I have to laugh every time you tell that story.
I'm going to tell you, Monterey Country, our listeners, that's what stiff-necked and stubborn can get you. Damn near dead, okay? At the bottom of a 12-foot pool.
Nah, it's better than that. It's better than that.
Yeah.
You know why
yeah.
the most I made a hard-headed and stiff-necked?
You know why I made a hard-headed and stiff-necked?
So we can take the whip ass that he put on us. That's why.
Well, I got plenty of that, okay? Believe me,
we can take the whip ass that he put on us, because we're everlasting people. Everlast, you ever see that title they put on the boxers put in their shorts, Everlast?
Yeah, Everlast, right.
We Everlast. You could whip
right.
us, knock us to the canvas, but we're going to get back up, son. We build
mm-hmm.
forever. We like the that Android and Arnold Schwarzenegger movie.
Right.
Trying to kill this robot that's out to kill.
Oh, that movie's trying to get that little boy.
Terminator.
Yeah.
You can't terminate the Terminator.
Man, that joker kept coming, didn't it?
Oh, yeah, no matter what you did to him. And that's what.
That's my life,
y'all. No matter what you do to us, we just keep on coming.
My life, we are.
Yep. You ain't trying to kill us with the corona, Ock. They're trying to kill us with the corona. But we going to last longer than they do.
True be told.
You see what he said about Egypt? They got museums about Egypt all over the world, right?
Right.
They got kings mummified in museum on display to show you how great and glorious Egypt was. Mow your face in gold to look just like you. But y'all reduced them. Where's the Egyptians now? They in Sudan starving. The real Egyptians. Now you got mixed people, Greeks and Turkish people and everybody from around the world that conquered Egypt. Egypt ain't the same. Just like this chapter saying, y'all ain't going to be the same. Y'all thought you was God. To the degree we came out of Egypt thinking that the gods of Egypt was the ones that saved us.
Mm-hmm.
A golden calf. No, Yasa, I'm going to reduce y'all. Huh? I'm going to reduce y'all. Just like, he reduced
us. You ain't going to never be like you used to be. And that is certainly the case there, my brother. That is certainly the case.
So we're reading history as it's tied into y'all's word, how y'all moves nations, how y'all controls nations. He said Nebuchadnezzar did what I told him to do. And Nebuchadnezzar was a wise king. Why? He had Israelite brothers up in his crib, up in his chambers, telling him what to do. Daniel, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego.
Yeah, and
he listened
to
them.
You better do like the Most High tell you.
Trust me, Nebuchadnezzar listened to Daniel, which is why he was so successful. And he became a serving king, a foreign king, that was serving to the Most High. Most I appreciate Nebuchadnezzar. You did what I told you to do, I'm going to give you Egypt. How about that?
Right. And that's that on that.
And y'all could do that. Trust me. But the Most High is putting it on Tyre now, because the Greeks and the Romans and the Europeans took over Tyre and became merchants. They talking about get the economy back at the expense of your life. Are they crazy?
Crazy, ain't it, man?
Yo. And if we fall for the okie doke, we're going to die like flies. We're going to be like sheep led to the slaughter. But everything is in Yah's control. Everything is in Yah's hand. And I put my trust in Yah, put my hope in Yah. I send my prayers to Yah. I know that Yah walks with me because I walk with him. I ain't got nothing to hide from him. I ain't trying to hide nothing from him. He knows my ways. He's for me from birth, and he got me. Like you said, he got me, Yah. And I can't go nowhere. I can't go to the left. I can't go to the right. The Most High snatched me from birth, and I'm so proud, and I'm so thankful. With all the trials and tribulations I've been through, you know, I don't need nothing from America or from Babylon. I ain't striving for the materialistic things that people are striving for. I'm content that I know the Most High, and I'm watching and witnessing that his word is being unfolded right before our very eyes. Because he said he's going to put judgment on these nations after the 400 years. Here it is, 400 years. We declared it, and now the world is on shutdown from an enemy they can't even see.
Truth be told, brother, they can't even see the enemy.
And that's like the Most High to me.
Yeah, and a whole lot of folks are discombobulated.
Oh, yeah.
But as I always said, Maury Cutcher, they worried about the wrong thing.
Oh, yeah. Believe me, man, death is coming. You know, we finite beings. That's why he called Ezekiel, son of man. You finite. You got a beginning, you got a middle, you got an end, son of man. And they try to apply that title to Jesus, like he's the only son of man. No, Yah continuously calls Ezekiel son of man. So who y'all serving? Which son of man y'all serving? Because Ezekiel had this title way before Jesus was even born, son of man. And we are the son of man. We ain't the son of God. We're the son of the Most High God. But just like Ezekiel, we're the son of men that Yah created out of the dust. Dust thou art, dust thou shalt return. So you got a beginning, you got a middle, you got an end. And death is coming. But what door are you going to walk through? Right? Because Yah restores the soul. Was your soul righteous? Or did you choose to be wicked, hard-headed, stiff-necked, walk that path to your soul's destruction?
Choose
all about the goal. And we don't really understand that because we're in Western world and our people don't believe in reincarnation and things of that nature. But we haven't been taught by our ancient fathers, so we don't know.
Well, we've been taught by the Gentiles, son.
Yep.
The outcome is to be expected. You feel what I'm saying?
And they hard-headed to just make it, just like us, ain't they?
As you can see,
Hard-headed and stiff-necked, they reflect us. We just like them.
Truth be told, brother. Truth be told. Well, Maury Cottrell.
Yes, sir.
If you're done,
we're
going to bring on Lucky Imad Dory. You done?
Well, I just wanted to read 28.
Okay.
Not the whole chapter, but
be my guest.
A couple of,
be my guest.
Because there were some important things in case on it. He said, a prophecy against Zidon. The word of Yah came to me saying, son of man, set your face against Zidon. Prophesy against her and say, this is what Sovereign Yah says. I'm against you, Zidon. And among you, I will display my glory. You will know that I am Yah when I inflict punishment on you. And within you, I am proved to be holy. I will send a plague upon you and make blood flow in your streets. The slain will fall within you with the sword against you on every side. Then you will know that I am Yah. No longer will the people of Israel have malicious neighbors who are painful briars and sharp thorns, then they will know that I am Sovereign Yah. This is what Sovereign Yah says. When I gather the people of Israel from the nations where they have been scattered, I will be proved holy through them in the sight of the nations. Then they will live in their own land, which I gave to my servant Yaakov. They will live there in safety and will build houses and plant vineyards. They will live in safety when I inflict punishment on all their neighbors who malign them, then they will know that I am Yah. So Yah got a plan. Man makes decisions. Yah got a plan.
Always, brother. Always.
No doubt.
Well, that being said, Brother Maury, thank you very much, my brother. Let us bring on Imad Hadara from St. Louis. Imad Hadara, may the Most High bless you, sister.
May the Most High bless you.
May the Most High bless the both of you, too. Hallelujah. All praise. and giving him all the praise because he is so worthy and receives so little. But that time is coming to an end as well. And I find it interesting in this chapter how the Almighty scattered Egypt.
Yep. Just like
that. He scattered, and that's why Egypt is looking the way it's looking today. Because you got all those infidels that have gone in there, those other nations that had gone. God let Egypt go back, but by that time it had already been destroyed, you know, and the heathens and went in there and got a foothold over. And also, the same thing, since our people are beginning to awaken, it's important that we make the connection. These white folks is getting mad as hell because we're waking up and we're beginning to disperse that old adage that everything white is right. You see, because everything they gave us was a white God, white angels, white heaven, white lie, the whole gamut. And it took that whiteness all over the earth. But the truth we know, wherever lands of the indigenous people that they invaded, and especially if there were lands of people of color, then the people thought that they were something unnatural. They thought they were devils, you see. But they try to convince us now that we're waking up, that we are out of line, that we're the devils and no good. And now it's never been about color. Anyway, but I just want to say this has a little bit off of the chapter, but I just want to say this because our people need to know too. You know, they told us some truth, but they mixed it with a lot of lie and misteachings. They told you themselves that Ham was black. I know when I was growing up, that's all I ever heard, that Ham was black, and that's how we came to be, and that's why we were enslaved, because the curse was that Ham would have to serve his brothers.
Right.
So
I heard that line too.
So Ham was black. But here, I love Yah's word because it's full of check and balances, so you don't get it wrong. Ham, if they said he was black, then the Egyptians had to be black. Because why? The Egyptians is out of the seed of Ham. Is that correct?
That's right.
And the land of Canaan was Noah's grandson. Ham was Canaan's father. And it was Canaan that was cursed. And so, therefore, but whose land did God give Israel? Didn't he give them the land of Canaan?
That's right.
So how is it that all these white folks running around talking about that was white folks' territory?
They don't know what they're talking about.
And what we don't understand is that the scriptures has never been about color. The scriptures has always been about nations. Nothing becomes a color issue until this white man began to rule. Then that's when everything becomes a color issue.
Right.
And now that we are waking up, suddenly it ain't about no color. What y'all talking about? Y'all just some Africans, y'all, and you know, over there in that land. Ooh, no, that white folk land. That, but by their own admission, white folks was not there. It was black folks that was there. Black folks, Israel, all over the place. And just like he scattered Israel and our land, he announced the same judgment against Egypt that he announced against Israel. The land's going to be desolate, wasn't no man going to walk through it, man or beast. You know, he was going to scatter them, but he only scattered them for 40 years, whereas he scattered Israel for 400 years. isn't that interesting? And so, you know, just giving just a little something to think about, because Egypt, and not only that, to prove how true the Creator's words are. Egypt used to be the head of, well, everything was under Egypt. Egypt was just like Rome is today. That's the way Egypt was as of yesterday. But since Yah destroyed Egypt, when Israel came out of there, Egypt has never raised back to her prominence anymore, has she?
Nope.
And the Almighty said that she wouldn't. So that should tell us something. Again, it let us know just how true the Almighty's word is. And I'll end with this. Today, it was on the internet that America just dispatched two warships to China. China and America's into it. So, you know, this, and they're talking about they opening the nation back up, and even before they completely open it up, this the numbers are skyrocketing.
Crazy.
So, we can just see, get ready, and get ready, Israel, get ready for the bumpy ride. But you know what? It don't have to be bumpy, because Almighty told us that. He told us what to do so it won't be so bumpy. He told us to trust him. Return back to him with all our hearts, mind, body, soul, and strength. We ain't done that. I'm trying to do that. So I'm going to see just how many of you that's going to be saved by the words of your leadership. Instead of you listening to the word of your God, you're running behind man, putting your trust in man, and your heart has left your Creator. So we better get ready and come to know that Yah is not a man that he should lie. As he said, his word shall accomplish everything he says it to do. So get ready. That's all I have to say.
Well, Imam, by saying that, you said enough. You better, people get ready because the train are coming. And like you said, it's going to be a bumpy ride for some and not a bumpy ride for others. So it's a matter of choice. However you want that ride to go, it's going to be bumpy or it's going to be smooth sailing. I'd advise you to take the nice ride. Just like Imam Hadar and Brother Murray Cottrell and I are trying to take that nice ride. And Sister Abby out in New York City, Sister Wendy Pettis, and so on and so forth. And you, listening, I hope you're ready to take that nice ride. We try to make everything hard, don't we? Don't we, Imam Hadar? We try to make everything hard, don't we?
Oh, we do make it hard. Almighty gave us some real simple instructions. Once you begin to wake up, return back to him. Get all this idolatry out of your heart and out of your mind. Stop serving the other gods, in other words. You know, turn from your wickedness. Stop all this torture and all this mess that we didn't get involved in out here. Leave it all, let it all go. The Almighty told us to confess, accept, and acknowledge. And hey, he did. He'll remember his covenant. What's hard about it? But everybody wants to accept God back on their terms and not the terms that he has given. So until we do that, but Almighty, he's going to have his way, Israel. Because he told us that with a stretched out arm and fury poured out, he will rule over us. So the choice is up to us. We can be hard headed and stiff necked, as we probably more or less will be. And many of us are going to perish. Yeah. And not only that, you know, they got the young man over North Korea, that leader over there, they say he's gravely ill. Yesterday, they say it was critical. Today, they say he's gravely ill. So, that's something else to keep our eyes on.
Yeah. Yeah, you need to be cognizant listeners of everything that's going on in this universe, not only just in these United States, the borders, but you need to be cognizant of everything that's going on. China, Korea, Iran, keep your eyes on everything. But most importantly, the most important thing you need to be doing, listeners, is look to the hill from whence cometh your help. That's the most important thing you need to be doing. Well, Imadura, thank you. Thank you, Imadura. Imadura, what's your closing remarks?
I just want to tell Israel to please remember this coming Saturday evening to Sunday evening. We're calling and asking that all of our people fast and pray. Cry out to our God. Repent. Turn from our wickedness. Humble our uncircumcised hearts and bow before our great King and tell him we're sorry and ask that he be cognizant of all of our suffering down here. He said that he would heal us if we return back to him. So we're asking our people, please, wherever you are for me, knowing or unknowing, if they say if you're black, color, Negro, nigga, nigger, you know, however way you want to pronounce it. So Black America, Afro-America, Porch Money, whatever you call yourself, or think of yourself as being.
Biracial.
Ask yourself, biracial, where you come from, what's your landmass? It'll tell you who you are. You have nowhere to call home. You don't even know who you are. You're still wearing the names of your oppressor, meaning that you're still a merchandise belonging to someone else other than Yah. So, Israel, let us pray. Let us cry out to the Almighty and ask him to lift these curses up off of us and to protect us during this doing well and to forgive us for what we've done to him. Let us accept our God. Let us keep praise on our lips. As it is said in the Psalms, we should be praising God night and day, even in the midst of all of this that's going on down here. Keep praise on your lips, praise him, because if it hadn't been for him, we wouldn't be here, period. But because of his mercy and long suffering, that's why we're still here. So don't forget, Israel, this coming Saturday at sundown, we begin a fast and a prayer. And we hope to carry it through Sunday, sundown. 24 hours, I don't think that's too much to give the Almighty. I don't think he's asking too much when he's given us centuries. Okay? May the Almighty name be blessed and exalted forevermore. And Yah, may you please continue to watch over Israel and give them the heart to return to you. Give them the eyes to see your mighty work. And the ears, they hear you're speaking to them this day. Hallelujah.
Hallelujah. Thank you, Imahadora. Brother Maurice Cartier, have you got a psalm for us to listen to?
I would like to read two, actually, if I can.
Be my guest, brother, by all means.
But I concur with everything that Imah has said, that we as a people need to pray out, cry out, try to connect with our Creator. And there's got to be somebody out there who's praying, who loves our people, who can reach the Most High, like Abraham reached the Most High on behalf of Lot and his family. So my father always used to tell me that our most powerful weapon, our greatest weapon, is prayer. So I'm going to read a prayer for King David.
It's always worked for me, Brother Maurice.
Yes, sir.
It's always worked for
too.
Me.
Guaranteed. Me too. I swear by it.
Me too, brother.
A prayer of King David and a prayer from the great man, the prophet Moshe. So I read Psalms 146 and the 90th Psalm. Psalm 146 is by King David. A Psalm of King David. Praise you, Yah. Praise Yah, O my soul. While I live, I will praise Yah. I will sing praise unto my Elohim while I have my being. Put not your trust in princes, nor in the son of man, in whom there is no help. His breath goeth forth, he returneth to the earth. In that very day his thoughts turn. Happy is he that hath the Elohim of Yaakov for his help, whose hope is in Yah, his Elohim, which made heaven and earth, the sea, and all that is therein, which keepeth truth forever, which executeth justice for the oppressed, which giveth food to the hungry, Yah loosens the prisoners, Yah opens the eyes of the blind, Yah raises them that are bowed down, Yah loveth the righteous, Yah preserveth the stranger, he relieveth the fatherless and the widow, but the way of the wicked he turneth upside down, Yah shall surely reign forever, even thy Elohim, O Zion, unto all generations. Hallelujah. The 90th Psalm. Psalm of the Prophet Moshe. Yah, that has been our dwelling place in all generations. Before the mountains were brought forth, or ever thou hast formed the earth and the world, even from everlasting to everlasting, thou art Elohim. Thou turnest man to destruction, and sayest, return, ye children of men. 1,000 years in the sight, in thy sight, are but as yesterday when it passed, and as a watch in the night. Thou carriest them away as with the flood. They are as asleep. In the morning, they are like grass which grows up. In the morning, it flourishes and groweth up. In the evening, it is cut down and withereth. For we are consumed by thine anger, and by thy wrath we are troubled. Thou hast set our iniquities before thee, our secret sin in the light of thy countenance. For all our days are passed away in thy wrath. For thy years, and they tell that is told. The days of our years are 70 years, and if by reason of strength, they be 80 years. Yet is their strength labor and sorrow, for it is soon cut off, and we fly away. Who knoweth the power of thine anger, even according to thy fear, so is thy wrath. So teach us to number our days, that we may apply our hearts into wisdom. Eternal Yah, how long? And let it be plenty concerning thy servants. O satisfy us early with thy mercy, that we may rejoice and be glad all our days. Make us according to the days wherein thou hast afflicted us. Make us glad according to the days wherein thou hast afflicted us. And the years wherein we have seen evil. Let thy work appear unto thy servant, and thy glory unto thy children. And let their beauty, and let the beauty of Yah, Elohim, be upon us. And let the beauty of Yah, our Elohim, be upon us. And let the beauty of Yah, our Elohim, be upon us. And establish thou the work of our hands upon us. Yea, the work of our hands establish thou it. Hallelujah.
Hallelujah, brother. Thank you, brother Maureen Carter. Well, listeners, you've been listening to the Real Talk for Real People show. I want to thank Ima Hadora from St. Louis, Missouri. I want to thank Brother Maury Cottrell from New York City. Most important, I want to thank the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. And then I want to thank you, listeners, for tuning in to the Real Talk for Real People show, because you're dedicated to your studies and you don't want to lean to your own understanding, because you know your thinkers are broken, and you're trying to solidify your relationship with your Creator and with each other, and to know how to interact with your Creator, each other, and other nations. That being said, listeners, I don't know where you're going, but you're finna get ready to get out of here. And as I said in the beginning of this show, and I will say again at the end of it, look to the hills from whence cometh your help. Your help is not going to come from 1600 Pennsylvania Avenue, as you can see. The only help they're going to have for you is you be the canary in the mine before the mine has come in. You know, you don't know about the canary in the mine? Yeah, before the miners come in, they had a canary in the mine. And if the canary were dead, they didn't let the miners come in. So don't be a canary in the mine. You know, you get your mind right. And that's connect with your creator and stop leaning to your own understanding. Do studies. Come along with us. And let's go back in history, not for a warm, fuzzy feeling, but for a critical analysis and assessment as to the who, what, when, where, and how, as to what the Most High would have us to do and how to do it and when to do it. And that you can ensure by the reading of those songs by Brother Maury Cottrell. That's where your help comes from, being on his rock, under the pinions of his wings, and doing what he tell you, how he tell you, and when he tell you. It's just that simple. And just like Ima Hadora said, we make everything hard, and when it ain't really got to be. Well, listeners, again, thank you, Ima Hadora from St. Louis, Missouri. Thank you again, Brother Maury Cottrell. And again, let's just thank you for tuning in to the Real Talk for Real People show. May your steps be directed in order, and may the Most High bless each of you. We love you. Stay strong. Good night.
Come to shove, no matter how
down in the sink. It seems to somehow we'll make it to the top. Keep your head above, arm in arms and lock. Cause we know if we would ever stop, the dream of unity could end abrupt. If there's ever a chance, you'll see the end of the road. It's your love inside that will keep you up.